Let us pray. God, whose Spirit has called us here today, we come before you now with hearts and minds open. We come to glimpse your word in the context of our here and now. Gracious God, we ask that you speak to our hearts, that you, who is our rock and redeemer, allow us to hold on to all of that which comes from you and let pass whatever is not. In the name of Christ, we pray for this time of reflection, that our hearts and minds may resonate with the Spirit's call to us. Amen. Communication is vital in our world. The ways which we communicate ideas make or break our relationships professionally and personally. We are in an age where, like none other, information and ideas are treasured. But we know that communication is not as easy as it sounds. And it has become even more complicated when there are language and cultural differences, when we need to translate what is being said. While I was preparing for today's sermon, one of those clickbaits came up around mistranslations. And it got me thinking about how obvious this issue of communication is, especially when we're in places that don't speak English. When there are pamphlets and signs where the meaning gets lost in translation. Such as a lobby sign that said, "Please leave your values at the front desk." Or the helpful hint that read, "Wondering what to wear to dinner? A sport jacket may be worn, but no trousers." These little translation errors have made for a good chuckle, but are fleeting. However, some of the translation issues end up having a larger impact, such as St. Jerome, who just happens to be the saint, patron saint of translators, who studied Hebrew so that he could translate the Old Testament into Latin. His translation, the Vulgate, contained a famous mistake. When Moses comes back from Mount Sinai, his head has radiance. In Hebrew, Karam. But because Hebrew is written without vowels, St. Jerome read Kirin, which means horn. This mistake should have drifted off into history as the Vulgate was replaced by newer translations. But it continues to live on in paintings and sculptures that were done around that time. Sculptures and paintings in which Moses is depicted with horns. Have you seen any of those? Google it. They're interesting. Today's scripture has one of those lost in translation moments. Until this point, the apostles have been teaching and preaching about Jesus within the Jewish world. You have those original disciples, Peter, James, and John, sharing the good news, and those hearing it, getting it. Getting it because they had the framework. It made sense. These were people who were rooted in the tradition of our one God. And the numbers of followers of Jesus grew quickly. Today, we find ourselves not in the powerful mother church, but in a local congregation outside of Jerusalem. This congregation doesn't have big names.
at least not at the time,
but regular people. Paul, who persecuted the Jesus followers, Lucius and Simon, most likely from Africa, Menian, who worked for Herod, not something I'd want on my resume. But within this worshiping community, within this small congregation, the Holy Spirit speaks, calling, commissioning, giving them what they need to continue to share the good news, not with people who are familiar with the story, but with the Gentile world. So having received the community's blessing, being anointed by the Spirit, Paul and Barnabas head out to Lystra. And this is where our scripture is from today. And it makes me think of one of those bad days where nothing seems to go right, where you're left with two options, to laugh or to cry. You see, Paul passionately preaches about Jesus, and Barnabas and he even perform a miracle of healing in Christ's name. And what do the people do? They shout, "Zeus and Hermes have come down to earth." Paul and Barnabas watch the people start to organize to celebrate God, that the gods had come down. I can almost hear Paul saying, "You want to what? You want to what?" On one level, this is a funny story. If you laugh, that's good. I mean, they go out to share the good news, a new vision to proclaim this amazing gift that Jesus Christ is. And the people end up translating that story into their old, familiar religious framework. And almost doing the exact opposite of what Paul and Barnabas are asking them to do. In attempt to share the good news, was almost an utter disaster. Paul and the company of people who had joined him preaching and teaching outside of Jewish communities had their work cut out for them. For as modern-day psychologists know, the pattern of thinking that makes up our worldview is not easily shifted. It takes effort and work to retrain ourselves to see and act differently. For people to hear the good news in the right context, there needed to be more teaching, supporting a new vision, and helping people to understand their experiences in a new way. Unlike Peter, the work that Paul undertook was much more like raising up a child with no understanding than providing the final piece of the puzzle to see the whole more clearly. And this is kind of where we are today as a faith community too. As we seek to reach out and to share the good news with the world, we are one or two generations separated from regular church attendance. The thinking of society has moved away from what we would often label as Christian values and norms. And the images of Christianity that are given around us in popular culture don't match, at least my understanding and experience of our faith, at least that proclaimed and lived here in this place. The reality is, gone are the days when everyone in our neighborhoods and communities shared our values and our understanding of how the world works. And we can stand and mourn this, or we can listen to the ways in which the Spirit calls us out into the world, calling us to share how we see, calling us to share the love that we find and the hope that we hold. We can be still thinking about what we used to be, or we can look at what it means to be effective now and here. We can get stuck with visions of what has been, or we can let the Spirit paint a new vision of what is to come. Because the reality is, and studies have shown, that the traditional ways that we've shared our faith don't work. They don't work anymore. We know that just telling people the gospel isn't enough most times. We need to live and breathe it. Have it reside so deeply in us, the word and the life of Christ, that it changes. Not the world around us, but ourselves. So it changes how we see and act and behave. And then as others see this, there's a spark. A spark of curiosity to discover for themselves why and how our lives are different. For our lives should be different when we're living our faith. We should stand out from the rest of the world, because the world we live in is not Christian and hasn't been for many years, if ever. But this doesn't happen overnight. Like a child who learns and grows and starts singing the faith and living the faith and telling the faith. It's a process. It's a process that starts and continues each time we stop and pray. Each time we choose to view a problem through the lens of God's abundance and grace. Each time we dive into Scripture to learn more. Each time we say we are taking action because of Christ living in our lives. We take steps to having our lives automatically reflect the good news. We are able to change our worldview and help others to see why they might want to change theirs too. As we dig deep into the way of Christ, we shine Christ's light into this world. Often, as we start out, we're not perfect. In fact, rarely are we perfect. And we might not always get it right. But even in the times of almost utter failure, we don't stand alone. We stand with the great forefathers and mothers of our church. We stand with Paul and Moses. We stand with Peter and the rest. And God is there, helping us to learn and grow. And by God's grace, we are given the chance to start again. So while as a church and as individuals, we might not always hit the mark on what we seek to communicate, at least sacrificing bulls has gone out of fashion. And yet we still need to be aware. Aware of the ways in which our messages are being sent. Aware of what we are saying intentionally and unintentionally to those who come into this space and to those outside our doors. Aware of how we are misheard and misunderstood. Because only we can correct that problem, communication error. Only we can go in and through our lives correct the mistranslations. Now, some of you are wondering, did you hear me correctly? You want me to do what? I want you to be ambassadors of Christ. I want your life to speak of the good news that you know. The good news of Christ come down to love us, to stay with us, to never abandon us. I want you to speak both with your words and with your lives, because this is the great gift we have been given, because the Spirit is still at work here, still calling us. And by the blessing of being here, you are commissioned. Amen. Let us join in our hymn of response. As a fire is meant for burning.
As a fire is meant for burning, with a bright and warming flame, so the church is meant for mission, giving glory to God's name. Not to preach our creeds or customs, but to build a bridge of care. We join hands across the nations, finding neighbors everywhere. We are learners, we are teachers, we are pilgrims on the way. We are seekers, we are givers, we are vessels made of clay. By our gentle, loving actions, we would show that Christ is light. In a humble, listening spirit, we would live to God's delight. As a green bud in the springtime is the sign of life renewed, so may we be signs of oneness, mid earth people's many hues. As a rainbow lights the heavens when a storm is past and gone, may our lives reflect the radiance of the true and glorious dawn.
Please be seated as we come together in the prayer of confession.